Welcome everyone to All About Windows Phone Insight Podcast 231, recording this on the 18th of September 2017. I'm Steve Litchfield, standing in for Mr. Rafe Blanford this week. We have from Indiana, USA, and on a mobile phone, as in a Lumia 950, the true road warrior, we have Steve Heinrich. Hi there.
Hello, everybody.
And how is life in Indiana today?
Bright and sunny, actually. Very nice.
You guys get all the best weather. We had about 11 days of summer this year in the UK, and that's it. And now it's back to rain and wind.
Yeah, it fluctuates quite a bit here, but not mostly on the upside. So, and all the fall colors are starting to pop overnight, it seems. So,
yeah, very nice. Well, I look forward to some photographs from your various Lumias then to document said autumn. Did you see, Steve, a story I put up? Fall Creators Update officially coming to Windows 10 Mobile. Now, this was basically taking the latest FastString Insiders update, and one of the items in the changelog intrigued me. And it's in preparation for the release of the Windows 10 Fall Creators Update, the product version number has been updated to 1709, just like PC. So Microsoft is explicitly saying, unless I'm missing something, that the Windows 10 Mobile is not only carrying on, it is carrying on with the same Windows 10 branch number. And as we know, we get 2 years of support patches and security fixes for each branch. So Microsoft is effectively resetting the support boundary for Windows 10 Mobile yet again. It's looking very much like Windows 10 Mobile is, if not loved and supported by Microsoft, is it at least being kept on the go and not abandoned totally. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's fair, especially because they specifically say Windows 10 Mobile Insider is getting this update, and it's two in a week. Or is that? Am I right saying that? Two updates within a week after seeing not very much, and then kind of losing hope there in that little lull and getting back on track and in a positive direction with this one.
Yeah, two updates in 3 days, I think it was. And I suspect what's happening, I mean, I mentioned on the previous podcast, I'm sure you were listening to my chat with Rafe, when I said that Joe Belfiore said of Windows 10 Mobile, okay, this is what's happening on the desktop Windows 10. For mobile, we have Windows 10 Mobile. And he said it in the present tense. This is very much backing that up. Microsoft, it's as if someone at Microsoft said, we've issued the latest FastString up Insiders build, but we're looking ahead, and the roadmap for mobile is extending and delays our building on whatever the next stage is. Therefore, let's update the branch. Let's get everyone in Windows 10 Mobile who's still out there on Lumias, HP Elite X3s, Alcatel Idol 4 Pros, etc. Let's give them the new branch number. It may not be exactly the same one core as on the desktop, but it gives them hope. It gives us a solid support a data point that we can show people, and then we can then support people officially for another 2 years.
Yeah, it's great to see. It's definitely a positive thing to see. It kind of brings back a little glimmer of hope that they're kind of holding hands still with Windows Mobile, and that they haven't given up on it.
Yeah, absolutely. There must be. I know I keep joking that maybe most of the people at Microsoft use iPhones and Android devices these days, and I'm sure there's a fair amount of that. Certainly their Microsoft apps for Android and iOS are pretty good. But there must still be a core of people at the company still using Windows 10 Mobile, not least the fact you've got all the enthusiasts around the community, people like yourself, myself, and numerous millions of others around the world. And the moment Microsoft start ditching stuff, we stand up and complain and say, no, we like Windows 10 Mobile. We like the interface. We like the possibilities of the apps. We like the integration. We like the familiarity with the desktop. Keep it up, keep it going. And I know 5 million people or whatever it is nothing compared to the billions using iPhones, but 5 million voices is enough to be noticed, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And it's nothing to be scoffed at. I mean, you know, I feel like they need that base there if they plan on moving forward with any sort of mobile ideas, you know.
Yeah, I did put up a slightly tongue-in-cheek, well, very tongue-in-cheek article called iPhone X. The shiny new features from 2015. And it struck me watching the keynote with my trusty Lumia 950 XL sitting right beside the video that a number of the features they were announcing as the future of smartphoning, I had 2 years ago, as did you with the Lumia 950 XL. It fits comfortably in the hand. It's almost all screen. The bezels on the 950 XL are pretty small, and we'll mention that later on in conjunction with a comparison to the 950. The QHD AMOLED screen, yes, AMOLED. Nokia have had this for a while, as have Microsoft taken over Nokia. The advanced circular polarizers, clear black display, which still, to my mind and to my eyes, beat anything the competition has. You swipe up from the bottom, just as on the iPhone X, to reveal navigation controls in this case, or even dismiss them altogether for maximum real estate. You unlock the phone by just looking at it. Ah, there we are. Its iris recognition is actually more secure than face unlocking, however well Apple have implemented it. You've got wireless charging. We've had that for 5 years in the Windows Phone world. Fabulous photographs. I still arguably the best phone-mounted camera. And so it goes on. The start screen, the large battery, which you can actually replace, unlike on the iPhone. You can charge it fast with USB Type-C. You can replace the back, natural materials. And best of all, not least the fact that it's been available for 2 years, you can now get it for £300, $300, or wherever you find it on clearance. So am I totally off base here? Is it just the fact that the Windows 10 mobile world has been so small that the rest of the Apple iPhone fans of this world just haven't given it a second thought?
No, you're not wrong. I couldn't help but chuckle looking at all the new features, thinking back, especially like the swipe interface, thinking back to the N9 and beyond that. And just, I couldn't help but think I've had the, you know, we've seen all of this before already. And like you said, it's probably just because it's been at a smaller scale, you know, and that Windows Mobile never really was a huge thing. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny that we're seeing all these features and people being amazed by them when it's really old stuff, you know, and it's really a credit to Nokia and all the Lumia line for kind of innovating for Apple on this one, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And when people see you out and about, or when you see them and the flocks of iPhone owners around you, and maybe a few Samsung Galaxy owners as well, and public transport in town centres and so forth, and you're standing there with your Lumia 950, and it seems incredible, really, that the device you have in your hand is in many ways superior to almost everything around you. Maybe not in terms of niche social applications and boutique shopping stuff, but in many measurable ways, that 950 you had at the end of 2015 has been superior to everything around you, and you can stand there kind of smug or sit there smug.
Yeah, I mean, it's not my nature, but I would say, yeah, definitely. It's crazy how it's really held the test of time. You know, it's really unfortunate that it hasn't been more popular, but you know what? I'll take it as a geek. You know, I'll stand here with it and know that I don't really need to get these new devices, you know, to have those features, which is kind of what they make it seem like. So yeah, it's definitely cool to still have a phone that's, to me, is relevant and still just as good.
Yeah, and that was just the low-hanging fruit. There's also, but I didn't even mention about plugging in via Continuum and all, and it's got a headphone jack. Guess what? The iPhone.
Yeah, you can't beat that. I mean, I think I saw a tweet where it was like the fake Joni Ag, where basically it was a checklist of them removing things one by one. So, and there goes, you know, the home button is gone. Who knows what's next? So.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, the fact that the iPhone X and, oh, sorry, I should say the iPhone 10, everyone's getting that confused. We'll start calling it the 10X.
I was thinking the same.
The fact the iPhone 10, iPhone 8 and 8 Plus have Qi wireless charging does mean that the whole world of wireless charging is about to take off, because it's now hit, quote, the mainstream. Again, we've had this for about 4 or 5 years. There were a few phones, I think Android phones back in the day, 3 or 4 years ago, which experimented with this, but it's really been Nokia with the Lumias, I think, that has really championed it, and in quite a noticeable way. But it was always considered one of those cute, idiosyncratic Nokia features. And now all of a sudden, after years of us saying how good it is, and having lost our first party phones, which actually have the feature, we have the rest of the world catching up. It's so frustrating that the things are out of sync.
Yeah, and it's going to be pretty cool to walk around and stick, you know, an old phone on these things. Yeah. And just, you know, watch iPhone users be like, wait a second, you know. And so but I think part of that, why they're even doing that, is because I don't know how much the battery life has improved on it. And I feel like they had to add this feature because you're gonna constantly want to be topping up to keep the device going. So
Yeah, I think it is. The fact that on the Lumia 950 XL and 950, although their battery lives are pretty good, I still usually find myself, when I'm using it as a main device, getting low by tea time, just after tea time. And as you say, having the Qi wireless charging has been a kind of a secret, really, of the Lumia world over the years, that you can just... because it lives on your desk on a charger, in actual fact, if you use that schema, it's always at 100%. Every time you lift it up, it's back fully charged again. It's just a wonderful way to work, and now the rest of the world can join in.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have that option out in public more.
Yeah, the Elite X3 does have Qi charging, of course, although the Alcatel Idle 4S and Idle 4 Pro don't. And that was a bit of a missed opportunity. Did I notice that you'd got a 4S by now? You were going to buy one? Tell us the story.
Yeah, I did get a 4S, and I was, you know, because I was on a limited budget, so I got the T-Mobile version over here in the United States, and unfortunately, I had firmware issues with MMS services, which is big over here and kind of a necessity. So, unfortunately, I couldn't hang on to it because I couldn't take it out as my daily driver, which I really wanted to. So I had to free it up to continue being a phone geek, and I need free up those funds to get something else. So,
yeah, it's a real shame. It does seem like Alcatel, as well, they have done, admittedly, with the Android phones, they don't put a lot of care and attention into support after people have bought the phones. I've heard this story in both ecosystems, that people buy a phone and they might get an update in the first month or so, and then it's just absolutely nothing. It's just radio silence, and there are clearly some firmware and low-level issues that Alcatel need to sort out with the 4S, as you say, for North America. And I noticed a few issues with the camera and with the speakers here on the European Idle 4 Pro. And I just have zero confidence that they're going to, somebody somewhere is putting eyes on the problems and is even now commissioning a programmer to go and sort it out. I haven't got the same confidence as I had when, for example, Microsoft were producing the Lumia 950 range, and even HP producing the Elite X3 range. In each case, at least there was a professional company with some pride and self-respect behind the fixes.
Yeah, I really wish the Idle 4S 4 Pro was a little more supported. I like you said, you had zero confidence, and that's kind of where I was at when I was running into these issues, was I don't know if I want to sit around and wait for a fix that may never come. You know, it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Did you see the announcement of the Blueborn Bluetooth vulnerability? This was kind of causing kind of havoc and panic around the Android world, and indeed the wider computer world, really, at the start of the week. A low-level vulnerability in the Bluetooth protocols, meaning that any device potentially can be taken over, even without pairing it to your phone or tablet or computer. Now, most of the mainstream OSs on desktop have been patched, and as far as I can tell from looking at the various change logs, the fact that Windows 10 Mobile includes a lot of common code with Windows 10 on the desktop, this means that the last production OS build actually included a fix for this Blueborn Bluetooth vulnerability, leading again to something that I've mentioned numerous times, which is that Windows 10 Mobile is actually far more secure than, for example, Android. We have the crazy situation in the Android world where something like 1% or 2% of the people running Android phones are fully protected and fully patched and up to date. Something like 98% aren't. And over the next 6 months, we might get another 10, 15%. But we're going to be left with 85% of the entire Android user base, billions of users, being vulnerable to this particular hack, and people potentially taking over their phones and finding out what their files are, and even implanting malware. I guess, sorry to sound smug to people listening, but this is an area where you can say Windows 10 Mobile is genuinely more secure, and yeah, you're protected, Steve.
Yeah, as much as, you know, people talk about the software of Windows 10 Mobile not being for them, I mean, this has been a problem with Android ever since, you know, they boomed with devices. Getting updates to software has always been a big deal on Android, as far as not being able to. So, I mean, it's a huge advantage if you're on a Windows 10 mobile device to be up to date all the time. And, you know, I mean, obviously they've got a much smaller ecosystem of phones to get up to date, but it's definitely something that I looked to as an advantage of using Windows 10 mobile.
Yeah, even on the desktop, I mean, Microsoft have been really good about keeping older versions of their OS up to date. For example, when a particularly bad security vulnerability comes to light, you'll see a patch come out for Windows 10, which is fair enough. But you'll also see patches come out for, you know, Windows 8 and Windows 7. So even people on 10-year-old operating systems are still getting patches that are thought to be really high value. And the same on the mobile. When we had production updates sometimes for Windows 10 Mobile on the creators update, all of a sudden you'll find that phones on the anniversary update, phones which were stranded there by for whatever reason, they're also getting a small patch to their anniversary update build number. So there's a lot more confidence, I think, in my mind in terms of keeping Windows 10 Mobile secure, far, far more than Android, of course, and probably equivalent to Apple and iOS. They have the advantage of having complete control of the whole software stack and software chain and hardware software integration. Microsoft and its partners have got the kind of advantage that they haven't got too many models to sort out, but there's certainly a lot more professionalism going on in terms of managing its platform, managing all the different branches and versions, and making sure that the right fixes get rolled out to the right branches.
Yeah, I've always been impressed by the updates, and especially being on the fast ring, you see them see all these things getting fixed, you know, before your eyes, and yeah. it's really great.
Yeah, it's kind of fun living with a work in progress, isn't it? It's occasionally frustrating, but it's also fun.
Yeah, definitely can be very frustrating, but it is. I mean, if you're a phone geek, and if you're listening to this, I hate to break it to you, but you are. Yeah. You definitely enjoy that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Now you have famously have a Lumia 950, and I have a 950 XL. Both of us probably prefer it to the other 950 in the range, but I'm curious as maybe we can have a mini debate, because this is something that's been going through my mind for the last 2 years, and it's absolutely crazy that I still can't make up my mind which of the two phones I prefer, really, with the hand on heart, almost 2 years after launch. But they carry on getting better with updates. They are living, breathing phones that whose functionality and experience changes very subtly from branch to branch, version to version. So in that light, I think it's perfectly valid to have this debate every so often. I put up a table a long time ago on the site, and maybe you can bring it up in a tab on one of your machines there, Steve, just comparing the various flagships. And this was back in the days of the Acer Jade Primo. Anyone remember that? But then the first days of the Elite X3. But also, it's got all the specs there for the 950 and 950 XL. But let's just start with form factor. I know these phones aren't available for buying now, but people can pick them up. If you want either of these, they're available on clearance bins and secondhand sites and reconditioned sites all around the world. There are ways of buying both of these. When I first held the Lumia 950 and the 950 XL, I was instantly drawn to the 950 as being much more manageable in the hand. But over time, I've found that the 950 XL, although it's larger and more cumbersome, the extra screen real estate and the extra speed and the extra battery capacity, they make the difference for me. But I'm very interested in your own thoughts. How do you come to this whole 950 and 950 XL debate?
As far as the dimensions of it, you mean?
Yeah, the dimensions, feel in the hand, and the experience, you know, comparing one to the other.
Right. I think that I love the form factor of the 950. The 5.2 inch screen is probably my max size that I would use, because I do kind of favor pocketability over the size of the screen. I don't do, I think, enough on the phone that the extra real estate is too much of an advantage for me. But I know that you keep yours in a holster. Is that right? On the belt?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
The extra size for me and my kind of, the like I said, the pocketability is what kind of draws me more to the 950 and in hand and just overall. I think that, but to be fair, I haven't had hands-on with the 950 XL, so I definitely am intrigued to kind of get my hands on it and see if it really is going to be, you know, would be too big of a change for me. So,
well, every time I recommend a phone, you go out and buy it the next week. So there we are.
Yeah, I don't know if I can afford to keep coming on the show, so this will probably be my last appearance.
There are probably lots of people out there selling their old 950 XLs. You just have to look on Swapper and the other American.
Yeah, I've definitely looked through and tried to find one, you know, so I'll keep my eyes up.
Yeah. In terms of the screen size then, 950XL 5.7-inch, that's quite a step up. And we talked earlier about the bezels being quite small, the 950XL. Once you've swiped up to remove the navigation controls, obviously both screens effectively get up to their full potential. But I still amazed on the 950 that they could have made the screen bigger, and on the 950XL that they actually did make so much use of the space. That's the most interesting thing, that back in the end of 2015, the 950 seemed about right. In late 2017, looking back, the 950's bezels do appear slightly too large, and the 950XL seems much more in keeping with the likes of the Galaxy Note 8 and the new iPhones, for example. Does that ring true at all?
Yeah, I think so. I really wish that I've tried out a couple of larger screen phones to see if I can, kind of get on with them. And so I think that's definitely true. The bezels, I mean, it's crazy to think about the bezel debate on screens. I've never really had much of an issue with it. And I think it's, to me, I've always seen it as kind of nitpicky, but I haven't had a bunch of time with a small bezeled phone. So, it's true, but at the same time, for me personally, I don't really nitpick too much about the bezels on a phone.
A lot depends really on how much media you consume on a phone. I do quite a bit of Netflix watching and YouTube watching. And as you can imagine, the more you do with media, the screen estate rules there. I imagine you're using your phone more for productivity and communications, which is what phones are supposed to be used for. But I'm kind of bending the rules and using it as my all-purpose mobile TV.
Yeah, no, I get that. I do actually use it quite a bit for media. And well, here's my argument about a big screen versus small screen. When you're holding it, just pull it a few more inches closer to your face and you're good to go. So,
but yeah. You mentioned a holster. Yes, famously, I buck all the trends by carrying all my phones in an appropriate PDA. A leather holster. It's quite snug on my waist. It doesn't look too ridiculous, I think, although others tell me otherwise. So I have to have chuckle really when people on various podcasts, they talk about a 6-inch screened phone and they ask questions like, well, how do you manage, how does it feel in the pocket when you sit down? And I think, what is the difference? It's hanging off my belt. I could carry a 9-inch phone and it wouldn't impede my progress at all. But have you never, surely America's the home of belt holsters. Have you never considered going down that route?
I have in the past, but I honestly don't see the disdain for it. I mean, it just makes sense, Unfortunately, people have, their fashion sense. They put that a little ahead of their geekiness, and I don't understand that. But it's something I would choose, I think, if the phone got big enough and it was a phone that I wanted to use on a daily basis and take along with me. I think even though I'm a little bit, younger than I'm really not too adverse to that. Yeah. So it would be something. Eventually maybe I will, but I haven't really gotten to the point where it's been necessary. So
yeah, just looking at the specifications again, they are very, very similar, the 950XL. It's really kind of matching the same model we've seen in the last, say, year and a half, really, in the wider smartphone world. I think Microsoft and stroke Nokia were kind of in the same sort of time frame as for the likes of Samsung, even the likes of Apple, really, in giving users a choice of sizes with basically very, very similar specs. And in the 950's case, of course, the camera, with the all-important camera, quite often an area where some manufacturers put the better camera in the larger phone. Of course, you've got exactly the same camera in your 950 as I have on my 950XL. And I would still argue that it is kind of world-beating, depending on exactly what you're looking in a smartphone camera. Are you a big imaging user?
To a certain extent, I'm trying to get more and more into it, but it's really very difficult to beat this camera. But I recently went to visit my sister-in-law had a baby, and so my new niece, and so my wife and I went to visit, and in the hospital room there was a really bright window, and everybody was struggling, even with their iPhones, to take a photo because of the bright light behind them. And I pulled out the 950. I actually had my SIM in another phone, and I had the 950 with me, and I pulled it out, and I was able to get some really great shots. It did a great job, even with that bright window behind everybody. So it was very impressive, and I still haven't tried anything that comes even really close to it as far as quality goes, or just the versatility of it too is in that situation was really great. I'm not a huge photographer, but I definitely can appreciate the camera on these phones.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, as we said, it's exactly the same for the two devices, which is jolly good to see. Looking at the battery capacity, that's really the only other major specification difference. 3300 for the 950XL, 3000 for the 950. How, in all honesty, if you ignore Qi chargers, if you charge it overnight with your usage, how far do you get through the day with the 950?
Oh, I can get through the day pretty easily. I don't have a ton of screen on time. A lot of times I'll be listening to podcasts or something like that. For me, it easily gets through the day. I have a spare battery, too, that I keep fully charged with me, and I've never had to use it. It's really not an issue, I guess, for me. I do notice that it drains pretty quickly if you're going to be using it heavily, but I'm really not a heavy user, so...
Yeah, a lot does depend on how much you use the camera as well. Of course, the camera is quite a heavy-duty electronic component, and especially when I'm running my camera tests, then you really hit the battery that hard then. And of course, if you're on holiday and you're taking it away, you're then reliant on mobile data, perhaps straining at a cell tower, and you're using the camera a lot. So I think certainly that the 950XL and even the 950, if you're actually using it out and about, away from your desk, away from your Wi-Fi, and especially if you're using the camera a lot, I think then you really do start, as with most smartphones, have to look about top up around tea time. But good to hear that it gets you through the day. In terms of the iris scanner, do you use the iris scanning or do you use a pin?
I use a pin. I tried the iris scanner for a little while. It just wasn't the most pleasant or quick experience, so I just kind of went back to the pin.
Yeah. So in terms of the two, I'd love it if you could somehow get your even hands-on and of a 950XL before next time you come on, just so that we can put this debate to rest. I'm genuinely interested in how you'd find the feel in the hand 2 years on from your 950's acquisition.
Yeah, I think it's definitely on my radar, probably for my next device. But I do have a question about the liquid cooling on XL. I noticed the 950 gets pretty warm if I'm using it extensively, not even really for very much. But that's one of the things that I don't really enjoy in a phone is a warm or almost hot processor. So I wonder what the difference, if you can tell me if there's a big difference between temperature in these.
Yeah, I would say the 950XL does stay appreciably cooler, partly because of the so-called liquid cooling, which is a kind of a heat pipe going down from the processor down the device. Also because it's larger, so you've got a larger area to radiate heat away from, I guess. Also, of course, it depends on which back you've got. Do you have a Mozo back or the standard one?
I've got the standard one and then a matte TPU case on it.
Yeah, well, that matte TPU case is probably not helping in terms of heat dissipation. just to throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, the screen gets very warm, too. It's just, it's not pleasant. Maybe I'll take it off for a while. I'm just so afraid to drop it because I don't want to have to, repair it or buy another one. So,
but the 950, you just take the back off and you get another back for $3 or whatever it is on eBay or Amazon, or heaven forbid one of the Mozo leather ones for about $20.
Yeah, it's more cracking the screen that I'm worried about it landing on the corner and that kind of thing. So,
but that would be the perfect opportunity to upgrade to a 950XL.
I think about hey, if I break this, not a big deal, I can just move on to another one. So
yeah, but I've in general it is quite handy being able to replace the back. The number of Lumias in the past I've had come in from friends and family, and although the screen's fine, the plastic back covers have been cracked in the corners and cracked across, and the bits of sellotape. And if you're, again, going back to that smug word, I'm sorry about that, but you just literally peel off the plastic back and you put a new back on, and it's almost literally as good as new. So I know it's very untrendy to think about replaceable backs and replaceable batteries, and I know it's not always possible to buy replaceable batteries unless you're very, very careful where you get them from, but it is a useful facility. And I'm sitting with my 950XL here, Steve. I've got five backs, two originals and three Mozos, and two batteries, and yes, I feel fairly flexible and future-proof.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand the trend towards things not being replaceable. I really kind of put it high on my list when I think about whether the battery can come out, whether the back can be replaced, that kind of stuff. So I don't particularly like that trend. I think it just kind of leads to a more disposable, you know, a more disposable type idea when it comes to these gadgets. And I'm not a fan of that because, I mean, obviously there's, you know, it lends to a lot of waste and all that. So,
yeah. One final thing before we go. I don't know whether you saw this story. This is actually a link across to Zach Bowden's piece over on Windows Central. His title was "Forget Windows 10S. Microsoft needs a true light version of Windows." And I think he was thinking here, if you picture your friends, colleagues and family, Steve, all using Windows 10 on the desktop and going back, I guess, using Windows 7 and Windows 8 before it, the number of people who get themselves in trouble and they end up with Internet Explorer and Edge now and Chrome plugins they shouldn't have added, and their searches get redirected, malware gets installed, Trojans are in place, useless multiple antivirus checkers are there which don't need to be there. People get themselves into such a muddle with Windows, and his point was, why not take the same kind of approach we have on Windows 10 Mobile? Ultra stripped down, ultra restricted, not just Windows 10S just, you know, locks out the x86 support and you have to grab apps from the store, but he's saying strip the entire OS down to just UWP and store applications, get rid of all the CRUD and have just so that users have a running on rails Windows experience. Do you think that's a goer?
Oh, definitely. If that was the case, I would swap out my entire family's operating system. So I think it's a great idea. I wish it could be implemented, but I think it's a good idea.
My suggested name for him was Windows 10 Edge. Taking the browser name as in Chromebooks and Chrome OS.
Yeah, it would definitely, that would work. Yep.
Yeah, so put all your families on members and friends on Windows Edge, and then you'll never get a single call saying, I've got a virus, or can you come and sort my PC out ever again?
Wonderful. Yeah, and it would probably speed things up on their end too. I mean, that's what I run into a lot with, you know, family computers is how slow they've gotten over time. So hopefully this would, I mean, that would be an advantage to that.
Yeah, and just to back that up, just as anecdotally, on my 950 and 950 XL, both now fully 2 years old, as your 950 is, and despite having run numerous applications through them and then deleted them and put my 950 XL in particular through absolute hell software wise, it's no slower than than when I first got it. I know we've had OS versions which have slightly tweaked the experience, but I can honestly say that the Windows 10 Mobile does not slow down the more you use it. People are often saying Android phones, the amount of detritus under the hood kind of builds up, and then they get laggier and laggier. But I don't think Windows 10 Mobile suffers from that. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I go into my wife's Android phone every once in a while, clear out the cache for her, because it gets ridiculous, especially on phones that don't have a huge amount of storage. So,
yeah, okay. The only complaint I ever see really is people saying that they have run out of internal disk on their Windows 10 Mobile phone and things are using space that shouldn't. I did do an article, maybe I'll link to that, giving space recovery strategies, but sometimes if all else fails, I guess you can just reset it and you restore, and these days most stuff comes back, and hopefully not including the appropriate offending databases and files. I think Outlook possibly is one of the bigger culprits. Outlook does like to hold on to your attachments, I've noticed.
Yeah, it would be, I found that resetting on a Windows Phone device is a lot less painless, or a lot more painless than an Android device these days, and that didn't always used to be the case. So
yeah, so there's a lot that Microsoft is doing right, including keeping Windows 10 Mobile alive and advancing its branch number. So I'm all for that. Now, yes, I was quite cheered to see that news. It was a vote of confidence by Microsoft themselves in their own mobile OS. Now all we need is them to come out and say we're launching a Lumia 960, or we're restarting Lumia 950 production, and then we really can break out the champagne.
Yeah, or someday. I kind of joke to myself that when the iPhone X10X came out, that it was kind of the Lumia 960 that we've all been waiting for, because it had all the features, you know. But I really hope that comes sooner rather than later. So
Yeah, I have said on previous podcasts, there's no reason really why Microsoft couldn't go to one of these Chinese OEMs and say, here are the specs, here are the components you need, build us another 150,000 Lumia 950s or build us 500,000 950 XLs just to satisfy demand and then ship them with the creators update already installed out of the factory. There's got to be room for something like that. Of course, Satya Nadella, it's not in his DNA to do that, but I can hope.
Yeah, that's all we can do at this point. So
anyway, staying optimistic. I hope you have a very good day, Steve. Thanks for coming on.
All right. Thank you for having me again.
Lovely. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the All About Windows Phone Insight podcast. Back next week with Mr. Rafe Blanford. Bye for now.